Well, here we are in the second Sunday of Lent, and last week we started our Lenten series that we're doing for our small groups and also on our Sunday morning messages. It's based on Michael Frost's book, Surprise the World, Five Habits of Highly Missional People. Michael Frost lays out the challenge to live questionable lives. And he doesn't mean sketchy lives. He means lives that are so good, so different from the way that people normally encounter other folks, that it leaves people asking the question, why are they doing that? What's it all about? And we can answer, we do it because of Jesus. And they can be pointed to the Lord. So that's the basis of this. And he has a model he calls the Bell's model for these five habits, which is bless, eat, listen, learn, and send. And today we're on bless, the first of these. How can we live our lives so that our ordinary, everyday lives, we are blessing other people and then drawing their attention through that to our reason, which is the Lord? And Frost says that there are three different categories we can think about when it comes to blessing others. And these are words, acts, and gifts. The first one, words of affirmation and encouragement. You know, it's probably the simplest thing we can do. The easiest thing is simply to speak words of encouragement and affirmation to other people. But the impact can be huge. We have that old phrase, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But we all know that that's a lie. Words can hurt, but words can also heal. Think about a time in your life when somebody has spoken a word of encouragement or a word of affirmation to you, when you needed it. Maybe you're going through a difficult time, and there those words were. Or maybe you were thinking, I'm not worth anything to anybody. And those words were there. I'm going to tell a story I just heard going out today. Somebody was at down at Goodwill, and somebody was there, and they were kind of talking to themselves, and this person from this church said, it sounds like something's going on with you. And he says, I'm no good to anybody. I'm not worth anything. I don't even want to live anymore. And he said, God has somebody that needs you. And you are here because you're going to be a blessing to them. And the person left the store with a smile on their face and a completely different outlook just from those simple words that there's a purpose for you. There's a reason. God has you in his mind and wants to bless somebody through you. So, words can be super powerful, and they can be a great way to bless other people. So that's one way. A second form, you have to get the scripture reference for it. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:10. He, Jesus, died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. So with our words, we can encourage one another. We can bless them through just our words. Now, the second way that we can bless people is through acts of kindness. And they can be big things or they can be small things. Small things like the KTIS radio drive-through difference. How many of you have heard of that? Raise your hand if you've heard of the drive-through difference at KTIS radio. If you don't know what KTIS, it's a Christian radio station. And their drive-through difference campaign is that they encourage you when you go through the drive-through to pay for the person behind you as well as for yourself. And then to make a little note that can be given to them that says, hey, your coffee or whatever has been paid for. Just wanted to bless you. I'm doing the drive-through difference with KTIS Radio. And if you want to share stories of how you've been blessed, you can contact the radio station and do that. They'd love to hear from you. So just a simple thing, paying for a coffee or a meal or something, can bless another person. And yet there's also big things we can do. And one of the biggest things that I can think of in terms of blessing in the Bible is the act of kindness that Paul and Silas did when they were in Philippi and were put in jail. You remember the letter to the Philippians we looked at a month ago? This isn't the jail time that he's talking about, because he's not in Philippi in the letter to the Philippians. He's in jail somewhere else. Kind of happened to him a lot. But he gets thrown in jail in Philippi, and here's the reason. There is a slave woman who has been possessed, and her owners are using her as a fortune teller to make money. They're making money off her. And Paul and Silas come along, and they heal this woman, and so she can no longer be abused to make money for her owners. And her owners are ticked off. Chapter 16 of Acts, verse 19. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So the jailer has been giving very specific instructions to particularly keep an eye on these two. And so he puts them in the most secure cell, and he also locks their feet into stocks. Verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Imagine being there, your feet locked in, sitting in prison simply for helping somebody, and yet you're singing praise to God, and the other prisoners are listening in and listening to your prayers. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison's door open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Which is a pretty logical conclusion, wouldn't it be? If you're in charge of a prison and suddenly all the doors are broken open because of this earthquake, you're going to assume that there is nobody left hanging around. Because that's the normal thing to do, right? If you're unjustly accused, or even if you're justly accused, and now you got a chance to get away, you're probably going to leave. And that's what the jailer assumes has happened. And he knows what will happen to him because the prisoners have escaped. He will have to pay with his life for those who he's let escape. And so he's going to end it all. He's just going to kill himself rather than go through whatever punishment he might have to have. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." What an amazing act of kindness. Not just Paul and Silas, but all of those people in this prison who have stayed there and thereby saved the jailer's life. If even one of them had left, the jailer would have been in trouble. But they all stayed there. What an act of kindness. And so strange. So strange that the jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. And the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he was filled with joy because he'd come to believe in God, he and his whole household. And did you catch the question? We're talking about leading questionable lives. And in our case today, by leading questionable lives by blessing somebody else. And did you hear the question? It's verse 30. The jailer brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Their lives were so different than what he expected. And he has received such an act of kindness by them not leaving the jail that he asked them the question, what do I need to do to be saved? How can I be like you? How can I have what you have? And our acts of kindness can lead to the same sort of questions in people. Our acts of kindness, whether they're small things like a drive-through difference or whether they're a huge thing like that, we can live our lives so that people ask us questions. What do I have to do to have what you have? What do I have to do to know who you know? And we can point them to Jesus. So that's the second way that we can bless others. The third way of that Frost talks about blessing others is through gifts, through our generosity. My dog is presently dying of cancer, and there's really nothing we can do. She's just 9 years old, which seems young to us. But our previous dog also died at 9 years. Her name was Hershey. She was a black British Cocker Spaniel. And she didn't die of cancer, though. She died of a blood disease brought on by ticks. Actually, she had three of them. There's Lyme's disease, and then something that starts with a B, and then something I can't remember. But it was such that the medicines alone could not save her. And they said the only thing that can save her is blood transfusion. And that was going to cost a lot of money. We'd already spent a lot on the medicines and the doctor's bills, and now they're saying that with a blood transfusion and all of that, it was going to run into the thousands. And we just couldn't spend that money in that way. And then somebody came along and said, I want to pay for those. And there's two things you need to know about this person. This person is not a dog person. They did not pay because they wanted Hershey to keep on living. Their heart wasn't broken by a cute little dog. But they were a Jesus person. And it's out of their love for Christ and sharing that love that they paid for the transfusion. Now, that transfusion didn't work, and she continued to fail. And we told the vet, I guess this is it. You'll have to put her down. And the vet said, I know you can't pay anymore, but I want to pay for the next transfusion and give it one more shot. Again, a tremendous blessing. That too did not work, and Hershey did die. But those acts of unbelievable generosity, just out of the blue, had such an impact in going through that time of grief and guilt and everything in losing that, you know, how they are, a member of your family. But those blessings had such an impact. And we can bless people that way. we can bless people with our gifts, our generosity. Probably the most famous gifts of all in the Bible, at least as it relates to Jesus, is the gift that he received of perfume and having his feet washed with the hair by Mary. And it's in all four of the Gospels, but I'm only going to read you the one from John. It's in the 12th chapter. This happens the week before Jesus goes to the cross for you and I. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." Now note two things in the story. One, her generosity got attention. It surprised people. She was pouring out a year's wages worth of perfume. And it doesn't matter how much you make in a year, that's a lot of money. And it surprised people. And Matthew, in his account, he says, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Excuse me. And even today, we remember Mary. We remember that act. It was so surprising. But also note that not everyone who was surprised and not everybody who asked questions was doing so because they looked positively on her action. Excuse me. Judas, putting aside his greed, didn't understand what she was doing. He didn't understand it because he didn't understand Jesus. Excuse me, just got a tickle here. In the Lenten Bible study that, Lenten study that we're doing this month, my class is a week ahead of everybody else's, my small group, which means that folks in my group, they get a preview. It also means I get to use them as illustrations. I won't use anybody without their permission, but in this week's group, we were talking about this, and people were saying, you know, sometimes when you do something nice for another, when you give somebody a gift, or when you say nice words, or when you're kind to somebody, people might ask questions, but it's not in a positive way. In fact, they might resent the way that you're treating someone else, or they might say, "Why are you saying nice things to her? She is." They're particularly talking about in work situations, those kinds of things happening. Sometimes when you do good things for others, the people ask you questions, but it won't be a question like, "What must I do to be saved?" It'll be really much more negative. But for everyone that asks you those negative things, there'll be somebody that will be thinking, "Wow. Why did she do that? Why did he do that?" And you can say, "Well, because Jesus loves you, so do I." Or you can say, "Well, it's because I'm a Christian, that's what we do. We bless people like Jesus." So just because you might have some negative questions, don't give up on doing good things to others. But wait a minute, you might say. Didn't Jesus tell us to do our good things, to do our giving in secret. You know, not letting the left hand know what the right hand is doing. He does talk about that in Matthew chapter 6, where he says, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets. He says, don't announce it with a trumpet. Like, look at me. He's not saying don't let the person know who it is that's doing something to them. He's talking about making a show of it so that other people will think you're great. Look at Pastor, look at how great I am because I went out and blessed these people. It's that kind of thing. Trying to look good for other people rather than focusing on the person that we're blessing. Because in order to bless somebody, to truly bless them, we have to know what would bless them. You know, for me, I love a nice hunk of stinky cheese like Limburger. But if you try to bless my wife with a hunk of cheese like that, she is not going to feel blessed. You have to know somebody. You have to know what would really bless them. And that takes some kind of relationship. At least a little bit of knowledge to bless somebody else. And so when we bless people, let's not be afraid of being known. In fact, let's give the biggest blessing of all, and that is to listen to somebody and hear what their needs are, and then to be able to respond as Jesus did. So, as I mentioned last week, there is a challenge for each week that goes along with these ways to surprise the world. And for today's challenge to bless, here it is. Bless three people this week. And you can use any of the ways. You can use words of affirmation and encouragement. You can use acts of kindness. You can use gifts of generosity. But bless three people this week. And here's the catch. At least one of them is from outside of our church family here. So if you want to bless two people in our church family, that's fine. But at least bless one person outside the church family. And if you want to do three, that's great too, or any number. So that's the challenge, to bless three people this week. And we're going to make it easy for you. You see this, what somebody called a prayer shawl tree, over here on the ladder. These are things that have been made by our prayer shawl ministry. And there are prayer shawls and baby blankets and scarves and baby hats and pocket prayer squares and all sorts of things that have been handmade by people. And they have been blessed and prayed over, and they're designed to be a blessing to others. And what I want to encourage you to do is to think here this morning about somebody who could use a blessing. Maybe they need a prayer shawl to wrap around them and just kind of to feel a hug of Christ or of your hug or the community's hug when they're going through a difficult time. Or maybe it's a new baby. I see a pillow over there. Maybe it's some kid that would just love to have a nice pillow like that. But think of somebody that you can bless. And then before you leave the church today, I encourage you to come up and take one of those and bring it with you. I think there's still some bags there that you can put it in, little gift bags. Or otherwise, just take it. And so then you're one down. Unless you can think of three names and take three things, and then you've got all three for the week. But I encourage you to take one of those and bless somebody. And if you need a blessing, I would encourage you to take one for yourself. Because they have been made by people in this congregation. In fact, are there anybody here that has contributed to what we have here, been part of the prayer shawl ministry? Any hands out there? Okay. There are a number of people that have helped out to make this possible. This isn't one person's work. It's a whole bunch of people from this church who've done it, and I'm thankful for them. And they would want to bless you as well. So if you need that hug from Jesus, if you need that comfort, or you have a somebody, some reason to want one of those yourself, please, please take it. And give the Prayer Song Ministry the privilege of blessing you. So that's it for today. That's the challenge, to go out this week and bless three people. Now, of course, it's not just for a week. You can keep blessing people in the weeks to come, because the whole purpose is to develop these things as habits so they become a part of our daily life, so that in our daily life we're thinking about how can we bless somebody with words of encouragement? How can we bless somebody with a kind act today? How can we bless somebody with a gift of whatever we have to offer, whether it's the work of our hands or some other piece? And to make that a part of who we are. And then perhaps they will say, I wonder why they're doing it. And we can say, well, it's because we're Christians. It's because of Christ. Let us pray. Jesus, you have blessed us in ways that we cannot count. It's beyond our imagination. And we are so thankful. And you've called us to follow in your footsteps. So, Lord, this week, bring into our lives three people that we can bless. And help us not to get caught up in exactly what words to say or exactly how to do an act of kindness. Just enable us to do it. And may it become a part of who we are, so that we become people who are blessers of others and who lead people to say, I wonder why. And we can say it's because of you. And maybe like that jailer in Philippi, they too might say, what must I do to be saved and come to joy in you? We pray this in your name.